good to see my son and Tyler and Amanda here today. It's good to see all of you here today. I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of why we worship and why we come to church. Just was this week to talk to a young man who said that turned around and said, "Well, I don't really go to church anymore. I just kind of do my house thing." And then he told me that most of the people that are 30 years of age and younger are finding that church is really not that important anymore. So tells us we have a spiritual crisis. COVID has done its damage, and it was more than just a physical thing. I think it was a spiritual thing along with it. We see that most churches are either plateaued or they're going down, they're declining. People finding no relevance in attending church and finding getting up on Sunday is not really, really worth it. And so we're going to talk about it a little bit this morning. Because it doesn't matter really what I say. It doesn't matter really what you say. It's what God's Word says. And God's Word has plenty to say, and I can't go over all of them, so I just picked out the ones that I think would be relevant to us here this morning, because COVID really did some damage, but the churches are pretty much open. People can come back, but a lot of them are not choosing to come back. And then other countries like Canada, they're being arrested for still having church, those kind of things. I'm telling you, this is not just a physical piece. This is a spiritual dark movement. But I know this, the Lord is greater, right? And the Lord is bigger. And the victory has already been won. We just have to live our life. And as this last song said, we want to finish it to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not good. We want to hear good, but we don't want to hear lazy servant. Where have you been? Why did you leave? Let me tell you, those words are going to happen to some people. But I want to encourage you today, to boost you up today in this area of why worship. Why do we go to church? Because there's days when on Sundays, it is the hardest day to get up for most people. And it's the hardest day to get up. It's the hardest day for people to be on time for anything. It just is. God says it's a day of rest. And boy, we really want to take that rest in. But it's good, though. We're supposed to rest. But in church even starts after the time most of us would have to go to work. And we still find ourselves having a hard time getting in, at least on time. But you're here today. You're here today. So I want to pick up some of these pieces here. I want you to turn over to John chapter 4. I want to talk to you that God is seeking true worshipers. I also think a little bit about what's happened last year. There's been some pruning. There's been some of that kind of stuff. God is looking for the true worshipers. That's what He's looking for. And when I see these today, you need to ask yourself that question. Am I a worshiper of God? Am I a true worshiper? Am I a true worshiper? In John chapter 4 and 23, He says this, "But the hour is coming," this is Jesus, "the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Did we get that right there, that the key word in these two verses was worship? It was worship. It was worship. And we find out here that He's looking for true worshipers. He's looking for them because He's seeking them to worship Him. So God is seeking us to worship Him. Now, are you doing that? It's a challenge for you today. When I say these, I got seven here for you today. So that's number one, true worshipers. I'm going to say this. I'm not a perfect worshiper, but I'm a true worshiper. Now I know who I serve. I have no doubts in my mind who I belong to. I have no doubts in my mind that I have salvation. I'm done with that question. That was sealed back in 1978 for me. That was sealed. I don't have to ask that question anymore. Am I saved? I'm good. So I move on. I start growing in Christ, watching others worship. Watching others worship in the church. And sometimes I want to look here and I'm like, I don't want to. Lord, push me to worship more. It's okay to raise a hand. It's okay to lift a hand. It's okay to lift two hands. It's okay, even to drop where you're at and get on your knees and worship. But you don't know how to worship. I struggle with it. I don't know how to worship sometimes. We struggle with it. If God's looking for true worshipers, we need to be excited about what God has done for us. But we need to know that He's looking for true worshipers. It's not all in the hands. I want to let you know. It's not all in the amens and hallelujahs. But what's in the heart will come out of the mouth. So maybe we should pray and ask God to teach us to be true worshipers. We ready? Father, Lord, we want to be true worshipers for You. Father, You just hit me in the forehead, Lord, just now, to pray over each seven of these, each as we go through these. These were not planned. They're not in my notes today. But You are seeking for true worshipers. Lord, I know I want to be a better worshiper. And I want this church to be true worshipers. I want to be the true worshiper. I know that we have You. But Lord, give us the courage to worship outwardly as much as we do inwardly. In Christ's name, who makes it all worth possible. Amen. So we know that we are called to worship the Lord because God is seeking true worshipers. Number two, I want you to look over to Luke 2. Now, some of you, Luke chapter 4, some of you know this is more of a topical message, not expository, but it's a topical message. Okay? So we'd be in some different scriptures today. But we are called to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? We're supposed to follow the example of Jesus Christ. So we see here in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, he says this. So the writer says this. So he came to Nazareth. That'd be Jesus. So Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And there's a great piece after that, some prophetic pieces. But here it was, this little verse. It says, as his custom was. That's what he did. Regularly. Going to church. Regularly. Going to church. How many of y'all love coming to church on Sunday? Ooh, yeah. How many of y'all struggle with coming to church once in a while? Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. But we do it, right? Because we know that's what we're supposed to do. We know that we are to follow the Lord's example. It should be regular for us. This should be our custom. I have some customs in my life. This should be one of them. You have customs in your life. That should be one of them. Following in the footsteps of Jesus. On the Sabbath. We call it Sunday. Some denominations want to play with Saturday. Let me, I'm not going to die on that hill. Because in the end, by the end of the week, both groups worship the Lord. But to sit there and argue over which day is with, I'm telling you what, that's a victory for the Lucifer, not for the Lord. But we are to follow the example of Jesus Christ because it was His custom. And He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and then He stood up to read. He had a part in there. But He came into the church. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to follow the example and attend church. Now, that was pretty hard during COVID a few times when we had to shut the church down. The first time, we just had to last year. And I think it was March or some May or somewhere. April, May, somewhere in there. That didn't feel good. I didn't like it. Everybody said, man, you're a little awkward on a screen, yeah? It wasn't the same, was it? It wasn't the same, was it? I'm trying to read notes off a wall. This was the crowd. I can't get into it a little bit. It was just falling short. And here's some of you know that. And what happens is we didn't even watch them. Some of you did. I was trying to watch some of the guys that I knew, and I didn't want to watch them because they sure weren't good at it either. So I had to go to the guys that could do it and do it every week on TV. And then some of those I had to get away from because all that was prosperity and healings. I'm like, man, Lord, where is the preaching at? And then we had to close it again. We didn't know how to handle it. We closed it for a week, I think. And then we closed it. We didn't really close it. We went down to 12, I think, on one Sunday, 20 on the next Sunday. It was like COVID just went through the whole church. But we're called to be here. Follow the example of Jesus Christ. Father, Lord, as I know that we need to learn to be faithful. Your scripture tells us, Lord, that Jesus, it was his custom to come into the synagogue on the Sabbath. Lord, let that be our custom. Lord, let us, some of us here have that in it, already instilled into our hearts. But Lord, also when we come, give us that spirit of wanting to come. Not out of obligation, but out of love and faithfulness, that we might follow the example of Jesus, of what we read here in the book of Luke. Lord, let it be our custom in our life. In Christ's name, amen. So as we move along here, we're going to find out here, and we look in Romans. Let's look at the book of Romans for a moment. In the book of Romans chapter 12, many of you may know this by heart, but it is chapter 12, verse 1. I want to remind you that back in the day, before Jesus came, they did a lot of sacrificing, a lot of sacrificing of animals. They put animals on the altar. They did those things as a part of the sacrifice, forgiveness of sin, and worship, and all those kind of things. But Jesus came and died upon that cross, became that ultimate sacrifice, where there's no more live animal sacrifices anymore. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. Through his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, perfect. Messy, but perfect. And the only reason it was messy, because we're messy. And when we come to know that we need Jesus Christ in our life, it says this in chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you there, for brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's a lot of words there, but basically it means this. By God's mercies and all that he's done, we're to present ourselves and our bodies there, and we are to be living sacrifices. We're to give ourselves to God. And if God calls us to worship, we need to walk right into that. Not just with our hearts, with our minds, but also with our bodies to walk in there. So many people say, I can worship at home. And you can. I've done it. You can worship in your cars. You can. Just don't hallelujah without grabbing the steering wheel. Or you'll find yourself where you don't want to be. But you can do that. But we're to be living sacrifices. As Jesus gave his life and picked up his cross, Scripture says we're to pick up our cross too and follow Christ. Be living sacrifices. Then my life has been redeemed and given back to the Lord, and I give it back to him. Mind, soul, and body. We're all living sacrifice. And what better place to be than in a group of fellow people, family, that has also sacrificed themselves, that we have this one thing in common, Jesus. Jesus Christ. Y'all want to be better living sacrifices? I know I do. Got one life to live, and I want to live it sacrificed out for Jesus. So Father, Lord, I just want to pray today, not only for myself, but for this church, that we would be living sacrifices to you as individuals, but also as a church. That we might live our life according to your will and your ways, that we would find ourselves assembled together, because we are living sacrifices. Put that in our hearts and our mind today, that we might ponder upon that, that you might use that to draw us closer to you. We might understand what it truly means to be a living sacrifice. And again, we ask it in your Son's name. Amen. So we move on from the living sacrifices. I want you to go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Some of you also may know where I'm heading here, and you're probably perfectly right. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to talk about two things in this one verse. The first part we're going to read, we are told not to stop attending church. We're not supposed to stop attending church. I'm not saying that the scriptures are. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, in the first part it says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some. We are not to forget to come to church. Now, if you do the research that I research from time to time through Lifeway, through other research organizations, they'll tell you today that an average Christian now in a church, a faithful member of a church now attends church once a month. Well, that's not very faithful, and that's not very regularly. They got one thing down, it's at least once something. But we had that 10 years ago when people would come twice a year. Once on Christmas and once on Easter. Now we have a lot of people doing once a month. Now here's what happens. When you're struggling in your walk with the Lord, now some of you are struggling. In a crowd this size, there's always somebody struggling with their walk with the Lord. There always is. Somebody struggling with the attending of church. I want to tell you that God has a purpose for it. We're going to get there. It is always to edify Him and always glorify Him, worship Him. But there's other things that He has in it. But He doesn't want you to forget to attend church. You have to fight through some of those things that are spiritual. You have to work through some of those things that hold you back from being who God wants you to be. So the first part here is do not forsake the assembling of ourselves. We are not to forget. We are to be faithful in worshiping God. Now, I'm going to pray about that because some of us need to be faithful in worshiping God. Now, I want to remind you, you can be here every Sunday and not be faithful in worship. You're faithful in your attendance, but you're not faithful in worship. There is a difference. You can show up to school. We need some more students here. You can show up to school, but that doesn't mean your mind's there, right? You can show up to work. How's that? You can show up to work. Doesn't mean you're giving your whole heart, right? You're just doing what the boss man says, and when he turns around, you don't do anything. Or you do the bare minimum. Nah, it's not what God wants. So let's pray that we will be more faithful in our attendance and worship. Father, we know we're all over. All of us are in different places in our life. But Lord, it's so important to talk about why we worship and why we are to come to church. Your scripture here, just in half of the verse, tells us that we are not to forsake the assembly. We're not to stop giving up in coming to church, as some are in the habit of doing. So you know that you tell us that there are those that are in the habit of doing that. Then, Lord, maybe that's some of us here today. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would move upon us in a way that only your Spirit can, to put that effort and that hunger back into us, that we would have a desire to want to come back to church, that we might be a part of this scripture where we don't stop coming to church and we don't stop worshiping. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Number five is right there in that same scripture. It's the second half of this verse. This is a very powerful verse. So number five is that when we come to church, we're to encourage each other. Now, I don't mean to put it, this is a small group. If our church was much larger, I wouldn't do this. But Cheyenne put a smile on my face from there to there. I've known her since she's little. Anytime somebody walks into the church I haven't seen for a while, I love it. And I couldn't wait to tell Carla. Carla said, I saw it. It's an encouragement. When I seen Connie, Colleen, and Lisa come in this morning, I'm like, yes. I haven't seen them for a while. And I know there's illnesses in that group. And they came in with a smile. And I said, hi, ladies. And it was, you know what? I got smiles back. And you know what? That made me smile more. It's an encouragement. When you come to churches, we encourage one another. Amen? Amen? Yes. When you're missed more than you even know. And when you're not there, you're not encouraging anybody by staying home. And believe it or not, you might need to be encouraged yourself. You might need to come and take a moment out of your Sunday morning, out of your Sunday day, take a couple of hours And believe me, there's a lot of people that drive 30 minutes to get here. Just take that time out Sunday morning and say, I need this for my spiritual well-being. Because when you come into church, you'll most likely smile. There's times when you're going to throw a fake one out. We've all done that, right? It's not been a great day. It's not been a great week, but we smile. Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's not, but it's great. And then there's the one that you're close to, and you're like, and then they go, yeah, I can read you. What's going on? And then that's when God moves. But the second part of the verse says, by exhorting, by encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why? Because we know that we have this future that's in common. We look forward to the day of Jesus' return, calling us home. So we're to encourage each other, to remind us that it isn't all about what's going on here. It's about the everlasting life. Amen. Amen for that. But we need to be encouraged. We need to do it also for the encouragement of one another. I've been told sometimes I don't smile enough, so I'm trying to smile really good today. I need to smile because smiles are contagious. I smile, then you smile. I smile, then you smile. Then you smile back at me, and my smile gets bigger. Anybody need help with encouragement today? To be an encouragement to others? Fathers, we assemble ourselves even here this morning. May we be an encouragement to one another. Father, you encourage us so much. Lord, I know it puts a smile on your face when you see your children encouraging each other. Because we have you in common. I pray that we will be people of encouragement to those that we know here in the church, but also to those who you bring to the church that we don't know, or even for the lost, that they might see that our lives are different, and we're filled with encouragement. Lord, you know we are human, we're going to fail, and we're going to not always have that moment of smiles and encouragement on our face, but we thank you for that other person who does, that encourages us. Or that we encourage them. Help us to be more of an encouragement to one another here at New Life and with one another. For there's a lot of things in this world that's very discouraging right now. And we need some encouragement. Pray, Lord, you'll give it to us and you'll do it through us. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So now we're going to go over to Psalms, the last chapter. We're going to Psalms 150. There's another reason why we come to church. One of the hardest jobs I feel in this church really is, and it's only just for a little while, but the thing is, it's every week. It's the worship team up here singing, and I know they want. I see them. They want to let go. They want to let go, but you're not letting them let go because you're not letting go into worship. I think sometimes we're afraid of actually God's Holy Spirit moving upon us. In a mighty way, like a rushing wind. Oh, we'll sing about it, but whew, you want to ask for it. I'm telling you, lives get changed when that happens. In Psalms 150, we are called to praise God in the church. Come on now, praise God in the church, right? All right. It says in verse 1, praise the Lord. Now, if that's all we said today and we meant it with all of our heart, we've done something. We said, praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. Now, if you don't know what I'm saying right now, you're probably wondering, what is he talking about? Well, I want to ask you, is God moving in your life? Are you letting God move in your life? Are you moving in the realms where God is working? I'm telling you, when you get where God is working in your life and through your church and through ministry, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to be able to say, praise the Lord. He's awesome. Praise the Lord. But see, I'm talking to a group that's just so quiet. Can I tell you, without Jesus Christ, my family wouldn't be here today? My daddy's been gone since 2014. I want to tell you what, when he put down those beers and he put down that drinking and he stopped all that cussing and all that junk and we had a bar in our house and all that stuff, I want to tell you something. When he asked Jesus into his heart, our whole family changed. And it wasn't what he, it wasn't him, but he was letting God do a work in him. And I want to tell you, my uncle died of alcoholism. My aunt died of alcoholism. Boys, you better watch it. Now, I'm telling you what, you let Jesus into your life. I'm telling you what, you're going to learn to praise the Lord. Because you can't, it's just awesome to know what he does with a life of, just a life of a pile of mud and what he can do with it. Because he's got plans for it, not just for the immediate, but for the future, for everlasting. When God invests in your life, I'm telling you, it's forever. And you got to let him do what he needs to do. That's just the first part. Praise the Lord. That's my praising the Lord. Without the Lord, me and Carla wouldn't be married today. You don't need to know about that. But he does. Put me on my knees in an old country folk church where I just broke down and God just said, "You done yet?" I'm telling you, God will find you anywhere, even in the jungles of Panama. He'll find you. And I can say, praise the Lord. Now I can praise the Lord in the jungle. I can praise him in my car. But what does it say? Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in the church house. Don't let just yourself and God hear it. Get in the church and say, let me tell you what Jesus done for me. Let me tell you what God has done for me and my family. Let me tell you what God has done for my life. Let me tell you. So we got to praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him for what? For his mighty firmament. There we go. Praise him for his mighty acts. There's been some, I know in my life, there's been some in this church. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Ooh, that's a big one. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Here's back here now. Praise him with all these instruments. That's what I'm just going to say. The lute, the harp, and praise him with the tambourine and dance. And I want to tell you, Baptists don't like to dance because they be thinking you all like Pentecostal and everything. Somebody wants to throw a jig for Jesus, I'm okay with it. Just make sure you're fully clothed. Make sure you're doing it with Jesus. And for Jesus, not for the person across the church. Women, I want to remind you that men have this problem with lust from time to time, so make sure you do it. You do it right. Praise him with the stringed and instruments and flutes. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Bam, bam, bam. God likes noise. As long as it's for him. And he don't care. Listen, if you off beat, because church, we got some people who can't clap on beat. We do. But Jesus says, I know their heart. I know their heart. Just keep clapping. Because you might be the only one clapping in your section. And God says, just keep clapping. And when you think you're clapping on cue, just look around at everybody else. And you'd be like, oh, I guess I'm not, right? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, right? There's scripture that says, even the rocks will cry out. Oh, heard that message so many times in the gospel community. It's a good message, too. I'll never forget it. But let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And it ends with, praise the Lord. You know what? This is all about God. And it's about us praising him for what he's done. How many of you men know that you couldn't go through the birth of your child? Because we just don't do that. How many of you walked outside or you walked in the house when mom and the baby's laying there and you walk and you go, man, I'm man in this house. I got to take care of this baby. And you as a Christian, you walked around the house and you prayed over that house. You prayed in that home. You prayed around that baby so many times. You prayed around your wife. Let me tell you, we got a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be praising and be thankful for. So that was number six. Now, number seven is the only one I'm choosing from the, well, I did, I guess I choose Psalms, Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And I got to bring you up to place on this. 2 Samuel chapter 12. King David really messed up. How many of y'all had big mess ups in your life? You can raise them because it does, I don't know what the mess-ups are, but we all had big mess. Yeah, let me do the double level. There you go. We had big mess-ups. David's mess up was his one mess up, ended up being another mess up, and he ended up looking at another man's wife. Had an adulterous sexual affair with her. She ended up getting pregnant. His old world started crashing. The first thing he did was what we do when we're living in sin. We try to cover it up. He's king. He can do what he wants. He sends her husband out on the front line. A whole lot of stuff I'm missing, but sends her husband on the front line and exactly what he wanted. He got killed. If you know anything about this guy, he was a warrior. He's one of the mighty men of David. So he was close to David. David even tried to get him drunk. Gave him sleep with his wife to cover it up. All kinds of things. And David thought he had it all cleared and done. The prophet came up and said some things, and David got in some big time trouble. But he knew his trouble wasn't with the prophet. He knew his trouble was with God. I've sinned. And God put some things down on David, and he said, yep, that baby's not going to make it. My baby's not going to make it. Some people will go, how dare God do that? I just challenge you to read the story yourself. It starts back in chapter 11. And let me tell you, God knows how to take care of babies better than we do. David begins to fast. Maybe. David knows that God is a God of mercy. Maybe if I fast and pray, God will let this baby live. And he gets word that the baby died. I mean, can you imagine what's going on here? Isn't that what the weight of sin does? It just piles up on you all. It just fills you up. And you think you can cover sin, and you think you can put it in the deep parts of your toe somewhere, and it's not going to come up. Let me tell you, it's going to come up. And the servants came up, and he said the baby didn't make it. Let me pick it up in verse 19. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. And David could have done anything else that he wanted to do. He has not ate. He needs to go eat. He needs to probably take a shower. He needs to take care of some things. But what does he do? So David arose from the ground. He laid on the ground, fasting, crying out to God to let this baby live. He cried out to God for the wrongs that he did and the sins that he did. He says, therefore, David said to his servants, is the child dead? Yes. So David arose from the ground and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. You think from there he would go get himself something to eat. But what does he do? And he says, he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. I want to tell you today that the church house is a place where we go for God to do something. We go there that God might work on us. Food wasn't going to fix David's problem. It might temporarily make his stomach growl, stop. But you know how it is. When you have weight on you, you don't even care about eating. I want to share a couple of things with you that I see as we, and purpose is why we come to worship and why we come to the church and why we need to keep coming to church and why we need to keep worshiping God. Number one is when we have pain in our life, this is a great place to be because God will give you relief. It's the only place where relief can truly come from. When we're sick, some will choose to go to the church house first. Some will choose to go to the doctors. I think it's wise to go to the doctors. We can take care of those things. It's a wise thing to do. But there have been many people down here at the altar where we've either anointed or prayed over that they might become well. The church house is a place where you can become well. Don't question that. For you might see it happen before you several times or three or four times or even one time. But because of your doubting, it may not, and when you need it, it might not happen for you. The church house is a place where broken people can come to. When you're broken, it's a place of healing. This is a place of healing. This is a place where we bring our sorrows and our tears here. That Jesus just might comfort us. This is a place where we can confess sin. You don't have to go over here and confess it to me. You confess it to Him. All I can do is pray for you. But I can't forgive you of sin. Amen? Only Jesus has done that. And you get it right through the Holy Spirit. Well, we can come here to confess sin so that we might find forgiveness. And even if we did it out there and we confessed it, I want to tell you, it's just even greater to bring it into the church. And then you can thank Him for forgiving you of your sins. This is a place where you bring lost people. And they might come and understand that they are separated from God because of their sin. And hear the gospel story and the gospel truth that Jesus saves. This is a place to hear the gospel that the lost may be found. Can I give you a heads up real quick? You don't need to convict anybody of their sin. The Holy Spirit does a really good job of that. He really does. You don't need to point fingers at people's sin. Doesn't mean we can't speak into people's lives. It doesn't mean we can't encourage. It doesn't mean we can't talk about certain things. Because the person who's sinned usually knows what they've done. The Holy Spirit convicts them for that. But we are to bring people to the church house. If we're well and we're spiritually healed, we are supposed to bring people in that are sick. Then they might get what you got. Now I think maybe that worship and church are pretty important. Amen? Where would you be if you didn't come to church and you didn't worship? Where would you be? Most of us would still be sleeping because of what we did. Do you think God wants you to be in church? Yeah. You think Jesus Christ wants you to be in the church? Yes. Do you think the Holy Spirit is pushing you to go to church? Yes. So if you are going to fight against that, you're really fighting against a losing battle because they will always push you to church. And why is that? Because when you go, you draw closer to Him. You're becoming faithful. You're becoming obedient. And God wants to possibly move you into a place of service where you can work here, serve there. Why go to church? Why worship? It's as simple as this, because God's Word tells us to. God's Word tells us to. Father, as we get ready to open up this altar, may Your will be done with it, with each one of us. If there is anyone here, Lord, that is struggling in their walk with You, may they hear from Your Holy Spirit this morning. If there is one that doesn't know You, may they feel the power of Your Holy Spirit convicting them and drawing them to Yourself. May this time be sanctified and separated for You and us. Amen. Let's stand.